Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to speak to you today. It's an honor. I want to start by telling you about my good friend, Maura. Maura was from Cork, but was living in Dublin in her early 30s, a working woman, young, free and single. She realized she was pregnant and had not planned to be. And in 1969, this was not a friendly place to be pregnant and an unmarried mother. But Maura did not want to have her child taken from her. She didn't want to have to move country. So she decided she was going to keep and raise her own child, which she did. And a couple of years later, she put an ad in the Evening Herald and said, "Are there any other unmarried mothers out there? If so, come to my house in the Kimmage Road." And that's how Cherish, Now One Family, the organization I work for, started. And they came in their hundreds and they came in their thousands, and they all helped each other through very, very difficult journeys. And they worked for change, and they worked for the first social welfare payment, and they worked to abolish illegitimacy. And the organization is still going because it needs to. But it has been built on the bravery and the innovation of those early mothers and their children. Maura is now in her 80s. She has a terminal illness. She lives with her husband in England, and she would like Ireland to recognise her family. And the only way that can happen is if this referendum that's planned on family happens next year and we vote yes and we give recognition and protection to all families and not just the marital one. And that's very important to some people of her generation who went through what they went through. So the organisation One Family now works with mums, dads, children, step-parents, grandparents, lots of different people who are parenting on their own, who are sharing parenting of their children, or who are going through separation. And we also always campaign for change. So the main areas that we want to improve in Ireland is around family law and child poverty. Just to quote one of the parents who we work with, she was speaking after last year's budget, she said, "There," meaning the politicians, "are not looking at those figures based on the human being at the end of them. Because if they were and they were considering their own children, they would spend that on a lunch." And she was speaking about the very small increase that was in social welfare payment for children, because actually the poorest people in Ireland are children, but they can't vote. We have 185,000 children living in poverty every single day in Ireland, and most of those, unfortunately, live with just one parent. And if you live in a one-parent family, you're four times more likely to live in consistent poverty. So that's daily, grinding poverty. And many of us would have heard of the eviction ban and that was lifted a few months ago. And we can see there's more families, unfortunately, moving into homelessness. And three in four of those are one parent with one or two young children. So what's it like to live in poverty as a one-parent family? Well, apart from obvious things that Shari referred to, like cold and hunger, and despite the fact that parents really try to protect their children from these things, you may not be able to afford for your child to go to a birthday party, to socialize, to go to a sports club or do after-school activities. You might not be able to afford an assessment for your child if they have additional needs, or get specialist equipment or therapies. And there actually are more people with disabilities living in one-parent families than two-parent families. You might be living in a one room in a hotel with your children. You may have to travel across a city or county for your child to get to school, have nowhere for homework or socializing, and everyone's exhausted and a bit stressed by that. And this kind of poverty and isolation is compounded where there is conflict between the parents, where people are in and out to court all the time, where there may be assessments needed and need to be paid for court, where there's domestic abuse or coercive control, where someone has a disability, where child maintenance is not being paid, or you're living in overcrowded housing, or you're homeless. And things are harder because many parents don't have their family near them. They may not have friends to help out. If you're trying to be mum and dad all on your own, good cop and bad cop. If you're from another country or culture, maybe English is not your first language, or you're living in direct provision, or you're an ethnic minority. It just makes it harder, unfortunately. Just to quote another parent, she said, "My ex-husband has stopped paying maintenance. 1 week it might come through, and then I might not get it for another 5 weeks. I approached him and he stopped paying it altogether. Now I'm looking at these costs stacking up. Food costs more, fuel, insurance, ESB, anything the kids need, shoes, whatever. Everything's going up and the stress has just been phenomenal. So what does poverty do to people? What we see in our services and what we hear from people who tell us what it's like, it diminishes their dignity. It can lower their ambition for themselves and their children. It's depressing. It's stigmatizing, exhausting. It can affect people's physical and mental health. And for children, it can have lifelong negative impact because they don't get to develop in the same way as children who have everything that they might need. So we believe that it's really important to focus on children and their needs and to invest in them, to throw them a lifeline and support them to have the best possible lives that they can. Another parent said, it's actually inhumane. I think we'll look back in years to come and see those figures and go, is that how they value children? I remember a couple of years ago, the Irish Times did a campaign called No Child 2020, and it was around child poverty. And Kitty Holland interviewed a mum, a lone parent in the Midlands, who's a nurse, who was working as a nurse. She had to use a food bank, which is not a solution for anybody. And one of the things she said in her interview that I always remember is she said, I use washing up liquid to wash my hair and I save the shampoo for the children. So what can be done? Poverty is not inevitable. There's lots and lots of things that can be done. It's actually a political choice. How much poverty will we tolerate in society? Who are we okay with being poor? Who are we not happy with being poor? There's lots and lots of research reports, there's lots of organizations, and there's lots of parents who are all eloquently able to say what's needed to be done. There are sensible, affordable solutions that support children and their parents, that create pathways for their lives and a pathway out of poverty. And all of that is in our pre-budget submission and other organizations. It's all laid out. One of the things is, does everybody who has a child need a second child benefit payment, as is being mooted for the budget on Tuesday? Or does everyone need an energy credit? Or should it be targeted at those families who need it the most, where there are limited resources? There's always a choice and there's always a way forward. But there's also huge love in families, and that's what families are about. Despite, no matter what shape or size they're in, parents want to always do the best for their children. And I have the privilege for many years of getting to know parents and families who have created incredibly strong bonds despite the adversity, in spite of what they've gone through. And it's very life-affirming and shows what is possible. So I suppose, what can we do? I would encourage everyone to vote, to understand who you think, what party, what do you believe in? Who do you want to vote for? What are they doing, the right thing? Use your voice at budget time, in election manifestos. If you're interested, follow us or other organizations on social media. Read our papers, see what you think. You can make a donation to one family or to another organization if that's something you'd like to do. And I'd encourage you all to read Katrina O'Sullivan's book, Poor. She's a former board member of ours was a lone parent for years and has very eloquently described what it was like to grow up poor. And because she's a social scientist, she's able to give us the analysis of why it's happened. So it's a great book, a great read. And ultimately, I hope that we all can work together to create an Ireland that we can be proud of and where all children can have lives to grow up in dignity. Thank you.